I want you to open your Bibles, please, this morning to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 4. And then I'm going to have you turn to another passage of Scripture in just a moment. But let's read Matthew first. And I want to pull a little thing out of something that happened early in our Lord's ministry when He was calling His disciples. And we begin reading, please, in verse 18. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. I want you to follow along carefully as I read the Scripture, and then we'll turn over to another passage here in just a moment. But let's begin, please, with chapter 4 of Matthew's Gospel, verse 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him." Now, I want you to notice that first the Lord went to the Apostle Peter and to his brother Andrew, and he called them, and they immediately left their nets. They left their work, their life's work, and they followed Jesus. Now, the implication is when they left their nets and left their boats and walked, they walked on along the sea, and they came upon the sons of Zebedee, upon James and John. And the Lord Jesus said the same thing to James and John that he said to Andrew and Peter, and bid them to follow him. And immediately they left their nets, and they left their boats, and they left their occupation, and they followed the Lord Jesus. But I want you to notice in verse 21, the Bible here says that when Jesus came upon the sons of Zebedee, they were mending their nets. Now remember, Peter is with them. In all probability, I'd say the chances are better that he was with them than he wasn't with them. The implication from the story is that this is just one thing that happened. This is just one event. And so he goes to Peter and Andrew. They follow him. He then goes to James and John and says the same thing, and they follow him. So Peter is there. And when they walk upon the brothers, John and James, when they walk upon them, when they come upon them, the Bible here says that they were sitting in their boat and they were mending their nets. Now, I want you to keep that story in mind, keep this event in mind, and keep this passage where you can turn to it again. But go over to with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want to show you something this morning and develop the message around this thought. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Apostle Peter is encouraging folks to live for Christ. Peter is an old man by the time he writes this book. He's incarcerated, he's in prison for his preaching, and he is writing to the saints, and he is challenging them to stand fast, stand strong, don't kowtow, don't bend, don't compromise, don't yield, don't give up, don't quit, just stay with it, and that the Lord is going to be there. He'll sustain you, He'll help you, He'll encourage you, He'll give you what you need, etc., etc. And so he says in verse 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But," now listen carefully to this verse, "but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Now, I want you to look at that again. "But the God of all grace." Now, take out the part that describes the God of all grace and look at the thought that he's making. The God of all grace make you perfect. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. God can mend your net. You say, well, Pastor, how does verse 10 go together with what happened in Matthew chapter 4? Well, I'm going to show you in just a moment. And you're going to like this. Let's pray. And in the message, God can mend your nets. Let's pray. Father, how thankful we are for your grace. Oh, Lord, that grace reached down and lifted us out of the horrible pit and established our goings and changed our lives. Put a new song upon our tongues. Lord, put a new direction, a new light in our step. And Lord, we're so thankful for that grace. And now as we look at these verses this morning, and Lord, as we consider that your grace still wants to work and still wants to provide and still wants to be given, Lord, help us this morning to see our need of allowing the grace of our great Savior, of our great God, to be poured out upon us, that, Lord, we might be for you what you would have us be. Lord, I pray that you'll have liberty this morning to speak to every heart, and that, Lord, you would draw us into a place where we just open our hearts to what you want for our lives. And, Lord, we put you first. So bless. And I pray you'll fill me with your Spirit and help me and enable me as I speak, that, Lord, the words that I say this morning might be a blessing to others. And we'll thank you and praise you for what's accomplished in Jesus' name. Amen. Last fall, back in November of last year, Pastor Stainer and I flew down to St. Lucia in the Caribbean to do a soul winning director's college. And I preached a revival meeting every night. Really what amounted to an island-wide revival meeting. We had great crowds. We had a lot of people saved, real energy and fire among the churches and pastors, and it was just a wonderful time, wonderful, fruitful trip. Well, one morning, one of the missionaries from America that was there filling in for a missionary while he was on furlough came to us and said that he would like to take us over into a cove where we could snorkel on the reef. And he said, have you ever done that? I said, no, I've never done that in my life. I've always wanted to do it. So we went over to his house and got all the equipment, got all the gear, and took off down the mountain towards the ocean and down through the jungle. And we walked down that path. And when we got down to the bottom, we were right down on the cove, right down on the ocean. And there was just a little strip of beach. And I noticed as we came out of the trees that there was a little shanty that had been made, just a little lean-to put together by whatever material could be found. And we found out that there was a man that lived there as a native St. Lucian. His name was Francois, and an elderly gentleman. And this little house that he had was right up inside that cove. Palm trees surrounding all over the top of it. Here was this man, this elderly man, sitting on a stool, a homemade stool underneath a palm tree, and he was sitting there with a fishing net at his feet, and he had a little homemade needle with some fishing line attached to it, and he was working with his fingers, mending his fishing net. And those bronzed and brawny old calloused fingers worked a little homemade wooden needle with such precision that I stood amazed as I watched him effortlessly repair the torn and tattered net that was laying at his feet. And that is the picture that Matthew presents to us. I was amazed as I stood there and watched. And this man with his old fingers, with his stubby fingers, with his calloused fingers, yet with such precision and accuracy, he was just sewing and mending that net. And I stood there amazed watching him as he was fixing his broken nets. And so this is the picture that Matthew presents to us. The disciples, after a hard day's work, fishing on the Sea of Galilee by net is not an easy job. But the disciples, after a hard day of fishing, now sit in their boat, half in the water, half out of the water. They sit with their Father and they are discussing the events of the day. All the while, their fingers working as precise as a trained seamstress, mending their nets. And it is while this mending of the nets is taking place, the Lord Jesus comes up to them and calls them into service, into the service of being one of His apostles, one of His disciples. And the Bible says that they left their nets, they left their boats, and they turned and followed Him. Now, you may wonder why I have associated this story in Matthew with this verse that we read in chapter 5, verse 10 of 1 Peter. Well, the reason is a very simple one. Yet, it is not one that is lying on the surface. But let me point it out to you. Do you see the phrase in chapter 5, verse 10, make you perfect? Do you see that phrase? Now look at it, please. But the God of all grace, make you perfect. I want you to realize that this is a fascinating phrase. As I was studying this verse, and as I was looking at what Peter was saying here, it was absolutely amazing. This is Peter, out of all of the writers of the New Testament, Peter uses the simplest of language. Peter is, Paul is scholarly. Everything that Paul wrote is written from a scholarly standpoint. Paul used medical terms. He used law terms. He used technical terms. But the Apostle Peter used the very simplest of language when writing the books that we have in the New Testament that were authored by Peter. And here is basically what Peter said. Peter uses the same root word that is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 21. When Matthew told us that the disciples, Andrew and John were mending their nets. That of course is a fisherman's language. It is a fisherman's term. And so now here's Peter. Don't forget, Peter was a fisherman before the Lord called him. When Peter walked with Jesus to James and John, they were mending their nets. Could it have been that Peter was thinking about how God changed the life of Andrew and how God changed the life of James or of John and how God changed the life of the Apostle James? Could it be that Peter was thinking back to this event in Matthew, because what he wrote in verse 10, if you translate it literally and don't give it the fisherman's twist, but just give it, don't give it the lawyer's twist, but give it the fisherman's twist. Here's what he was saying. Look at your Bible. But the God of all grace is able to mend your nets. The exact root word that is used in Matthew is the same root word that was used by Peter in chapter 5 and verse 10. So what Peter is saying to the people here is this. Hey, listen, I know it's tough. I know it's hard. My goodness, I'm in prison. I'm going to die soon. They're going to crucify me soon for the cause of Christ. And I know that the devil, as a roaring lion, is out there seeking whom he may devour. I know that you're struggling. I know that you're suffering. But I want you to understand the same God that reached down in the pit and saved your soul and brought you out and changed your life and gave you new life in Him, the same Savior and the same grace is available to you still. The God of all grace is able to mend your net. Oh, folks, what a promise that is. That means that no matter what you're dealing with, you've got a God that is full of grace, and His grace is sufficient for you. You can trust Him. He knows what He's doing in your life. So it's almost as if Peter, who was a fisherman and was approached first by Jesus and was here when the Lord approached James and John, said to the people, the God of all grace, whatever else He may do, will mend your nets for you if you will trust Him, if you will come to Him. And so the years had passed. And now Peter sits and pens his epistle, his letter. And he's old. And he knows his ministry is almost over. And so taking pen in hand, he writes a letter of encouragement to the churches, to the Christians.
and remembers the days of his youth. He remembers his old craft. He remembers the hours that he spent mending his own nets. And he says, when looking for a picture, for something that they could hang on to, he remembers his old ways. And the old fishermen wanted to put it in their minds, an image. He wanted to give them something that they could hang on to. And so what does he say? He says that the God of all grace is able to mend your nets. Folks, what a God we serve. I asked that old gentleman, Francois, I asked him what he was doing. And he smiled and he picked up the net and showed me the net in several places where it had been torn from working that day. And with a wry smile on his wrinkled face, he just said, "Oh, I'm just shoring up my net." And then he dropped it and continued on with his work. You know, I knew that somewhere down the road, I'd be able to use that story for a sermon. And praise the Lord, here it is. Now, let me give you two things this morning. Well, I want to speak to you on the subject, God can mend your net. You see, the net is your Christian life. It's your service for the Lord. The net is your heart. The net is the working end of our Christianity. And I want you to know that God wants to mend your net. There are two things I want you to see. First of all, I want us to take just a minute and think about just how does our net get torn? How does our net get torn? I want to offer you a couple of different ways. You've got to realize, folks, that for a fisherman, the net was his life stay. The net was the most important part of anything he did. It was the most important activity, an important piece of equipment that he owned. And so don't forget, the net is his life stay. He can't go out and just sit in the boat. He can't take his boat and row out into the sea and just sit there without using the net and expect to bring any fish home. No, he's got to cast the net and he's got to draw it in and it's got to work or he's not going to catch any fish. So the net is a picture of his life. Now, how does life get so broken and torn apart? How is it that the net can get so torn up? Well, let me offer you just a couple of ways in which the net can be torn. First of all, it can get torn by the ordinary wear and tear of fishing. All of us know that stuff that man makes just doesn't last forever. Isn't that right? I mean, no matter what. I don't know if you realize this, but the first light bulb that Thomas Edison ever made is still working. Are you listening to me? Anybody ever buy a light bulb that lasted more than a month? I mean, come on. They could make a light bulb that doesn't burn out, but it's called planned obsolescence. That's what they call it. And that keeps you running back and buying more. If you only bought one and it lasted forever, they wouldn't be able to sell you another, and eventually everybody would own the one light bulb that they needed, and they wouldn't sell anymore. They'd go out of business. So everything that man makes, it eventually tears apart. And here is a fishing net. And it can get torn by the ordinary wear and tear of fishing. Folks, we know from practical everyday life that the things we use just wear out eventually. There is no reason to suspect here that James and John had defective nets and that's why they were mending them. They just simply wear out over time and because of use. And so it is with each and every one of us. Folks, as we journey through life, we find that there is a wear and tear that is thrust upon us. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, Ernie Reed came down and we were talking together up front. I said, "How you doing, Ernie?" And he just looked at me and shook his head and we started comparing ailments together. And he said to me, "You know, Pastor, I hate getting old." I said, "Ernie, I wholeheartedly understand what you're saying." And I said, "Ernie, I don't care what anybody says. It takes guts to get old." And it does. I mean, it's always something. You ever notice that? And so it's easy for us as we go through life to experience the wear and tear of life. And we find ourselves with our nets getting torn. You see, the stress and the strain that can be thrust upon us today in this modern, technologically sound society in which we live, the stress and strain that can be thrust upon us is just unbelievable. Our nets can be torn by the strain of work, by the stress of home, by the pull of the world, or any other number of things. We go out one day and cast the net and draw it in and find that there's nothing there, and it's all because of the stress and the strain that has broken our nets. But Peter reminds us here, folks, he reminds us that in this world in which we live, and I want you to know, folks, that the same devil that was after that is after us is the same devil that was after them, and Peter's word of warning to them, beware, be ready, be watching, the devil's out to tear up your net. Don't let that happen. And he said, don't let that, the devil have you, but realize that the God of all grace is able to mend your net. Folks, we need, yes, we live in a rough world. Yes, we live in a society where there's so much going on and there's so many things that bid for our attention. But folks, realize that we're not here for any other purpose than to live our lives for God. And you can't live your life for God if you've got a net that's all broken apart. So as you cast the net, and the world is out there, and stress is out there, and your job is out there, and broken heart is out there, and burden is out there, and you go dragging it back in, and it tears your net. Listen, come to the Lord. Sit down and realize you got to mend your net. Let God have that net, and God will turn it around for you. They had to do it every day, I dare say. I dare say every day. This probably what they were doing was just a part of their work week. It was just a part of their work cycle. They go out in the morning, they take a mended net. They fish, they come back in, they count their fish, they get them prepared, but before they go home, they sit down and mend their net. Oh, the importance of sitting down every day and letting God mend your net. I mean just spending time with God. You know, we get so busy in this world. We get so busy, next thing you know, the day's gone and we haven't spent any time with the Lord. The stress and strain can be unbelievable. Peter says, the God of all grace is able to mend your net. Folks, I'm preaching to a room full of folks this morning, and you're good people. I know that. You haven't committed any what we would call heinous sins, but still, you sit here this morning with a broken net, and you have no walk with the Lord. You have no power in your life. You have no fruit in your life. There is no real desire for you to serve the Lord. My friend, the only thing that you can attribute to your broken net is the fact that the cares of this world have taken your life and have overwhelmed you. You've been swamped by the things that are upon you and you aren't catching anything. But I tell you, God can mend that net for you this morning. God can mend that net. This week we have our fall conference, our fall revival. And the thing that grieves me more than I have words to express is the number of people sitting right here this morning who are saved. You're on your way to heaven, but you don't care one whit that we're having revival services this week. That bothers me tremendously. You say, well, why would that bother you? Because of what you're going to miss. That's why. Because by your not coming, you see, you cast the net, you don't get anything back. Your net needs mending. And so that's why you're not going to come. And why, by not coming, you're going to miss the blessings of God. Folks, we got three of the greatest preachers in America coming to preach from behind this pulpit. We got three of the greatest preachers that you're going to hear anywhere alive today going to be preaching for us. And I'm telling you, we ought to be fighting to get a seat to hear what God has to say. But it grieves my soul when I look around. And you know, I've told you before, you all have your assigned seats. I know where you sit. I know where you sit. And I look around and you're not there in your seat. I'm telling you, you're missing the blessings of God. And you wonder why. You go out there and cast the net and you don't get anything. Don't let the cares of this world. Don't let the cares overwhelm you. I mean, listen, you care about TV. Amen. Thank you, Lawrence. You care about who won the race last night? Who's in the chase? Yeah, I care about that. Care about your team, whether or not they won yesterday. I mean, you care about that stuff. You care about the burdens that are tearing apart at your neck. You care about the heartaches and the hurts and the bills that you face and all that. Well, folks, listen, I just want you to care about service for God. I just want you to care about what kind of fruit are you producing for God. And if you've got a holy net, you're not going to catch anything for God. You've got to mend that net. Of course, you can't do it. God will do it for you. Second way our net can be torn is by some obstacle that we cannot see below the water. We went down there to snorkeling. We went down there to snorkel. And a storm had just blown through, and it was real murky. You couldn't see. And we got down there, man, rocks and coral and shells and all this stuff. And so we put those flipper things on, you know, and you got to walk like a penguin when you put those things on. So we got down there in the water and had that mask on and standing down, got wading out there a little bit, and I put that mask on and I put that little thing up so I wouldn't drown, and I put my head down underneath the water, couldn't see anything. I mean, you couldn't see anything. I put my hand down there, I could barely see my hand. That's how murky that water was. And so I thought, well, maybe I'll go out a little bit. So I kind of went out a little bit. And I'm out there flopping around, you know. And all of a sudden, I start burning. I'm burning down around my ankle. I thought, well, what's that? So I come back over and found me a place where I could stand up. I lifted up my leg, and there's coral under there. And I had stepped and slid off a piece of coral, and it went and ripped my leg. There is my ankle bleeding in the ocean. All I could think of was Nemo. Yeah, you ever watch Finding Nemo? Huh? And old Bruce, the shark, he's sitting there. Nemo runs into that blue fish's nose and gives him a bloody nose, and the blood comes screaming up. And old Bruce, who is he's in Eaters Anonymous, you know, Fish Eaters Anonymous, and he's sitting there. He goes, "Old Bruce, he's going to have fish tonight." Well, that's all I could see Bruce out there going. I smell preacher. And that's when I said, I'm out of here. That's it, I'm done. I didn't know that coral was down there. He did not tell me. Now be careful, because there's coral out there and it will cut you like a razor blade. And I did not know that. And so I'm out there, look like someone put me in a blender before I got out of there. Brother, I'm telling you, your neck can get torn by some obstacles below the water. I never will forget, years ago, my dad took my brother and I deep sea fishing. We went out into the Gulf Stream, some 40 miles out we went. And there's the big reef out there, 40 miles away, and the Gulf current comes right down through there. And boy, we fish. Oh my goodness, we had a blast. But the first time, I was about 10 years old, 11 years old, and I got that pole. And the guy said, "Now here's how you do it. Flip this little thing right here. Keep your thumb right here. And you just drop it right off the end of the boat. It'll go all the way down to the bottom. When you feel it hit, click it and set the reel. And then get ready." I said, "Okay." So we went out there. The sea was really choppy. I mean, some big waves. We're going up, then we're going down. We're going up, we're going down. I'm sitting there thinking, oh my goodness, you've got to put up with this all day. When I went home that night, I was still rocking back and forth. Never will forget that feeling. But anyway, we're out there fishing, and the first time I dropped it down, that boat would go up, and all of a sudden I thought, man, I got one. And I start pulling. My dad said, probably just on the bottom. I'm pulling. I said, "No, man, I got one." And all of a sudden the boat would go down. The tension would go off the pole. And I said, I tighten it up. Well, by tightening it up, when that boat went back up again, man, that rod was bent down. I said, "No, Dad, I got a fish. I got," and I'm pulling, but it wouldn't go anywhere. And I'm reeling for everything I got. And my dad's laughing at me. He knows what's happened. I'm stuck on the bottom. I've hooked onto a piece of coral. I've hooked onto a submarine. I don't know, but I did not have a fish. And my dad just laughing at me. But I'm convinced I've got Moby Dick on the end of my line. I know that. I'm pulling and I'm doing everything. I'm reeling and all I can. The first mate comes over and he says, "Son, you're stuck on the bottom." Click. And he takes his knife and just cuts my line. And sure enough, that's what the problem was. Later on that day, I caught a piece of coral about that big. Same thing, I thought, but I broke it free and reeled it up. You see, there are some things under the water you can't see. And they're going to hurt. They're going to rip your net apart. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about when somebody mistreats you. Or at least you perceive you were mistreated. Same thing. I'm talking about when someone offends you. I'm talking about when someone hurts you. Your neck can get torn. Your neck can get torn. We face some tragedy, like losing a loved one. Your neck can get torn. You know, there's some folks never get over their spouse dying. They never get over it. They get bitter towards God. They get angry towards God. They blame God for the death of their loved one. Well, God did this. No, God didn't do it. It is appointed unto man once to die. You're going to die. I wish you'd live forever. But you're not going to. It wouldn't hurt me a bit if I never had to perform another funeral. Really wouldn't. It'd make me even feel more happier if I didn't have to perform another wedding. But no, I'm kidding. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong at a wedding. You ever notice that? I know you don't understand this, but I'd rather do 10 funerals than one wedding. I know you don't understand that. Folks, I tell you, life can be tough, can't it? You know, things can happen. We face some tragedy. We end up bitter and angry, angry at God. Maybe we see the wrong side of some church member. Maybe we see the wrong side of some man of God. Maybe we feel like we've been mistreated by the pastor or by one of the staff. And our faith is dashed in a moment's time. Brethren, those things are going to happen to you. I wish they didn't. I wish there was some way I could ensure that not one single member of the Church of the Open Door would ever get hurt or ever get offended as you go through life. I wish it were possible for me to insulate you from the hurtful, selfish things that people can say. But the truth is, every fisherman knows that with every cast of the net, there is a chance that it's going to get snagged on something unseen in the waters below. The point is, I cannot insulate a one in this room. Truth is, I cannot even insulate myself or my wife or my children or my grandchildren. But I can point you to one who has enough grace and is not selfish with that grace, who can mend your net even when it gets this kind of a tear. You can come to Him and He will get you looking at the brightness of His face, and you won't want to look at somebody else's hurtful face. You won't want to look at somebody else that has offended you. He'll get you to look at the brightness of His face, and you won't want to look at life's hurts any longer or the faults of others. But then thirdly, our nets can be broken by the wealth of the sea they enclose. That happened to the disciples one time. You remember that? Jesus said, cast your nets on the other side. So they pulled over and cast their nets on the right side of the boat. And when they did, they got so many fish they couldn't haul them all. They dragging it in, and the nets were breaking because of the amount of fish that they had. This is strange, don't you think? I mean, think about it. It's strange that the gifts of a good God could be a problem for us. It's really strange that the blessings of God could be a problem for us. You know, you just stop and think about this church. My, how God has blessed this church. It's amazing. You know, I mean, I know everybody out in Carroll County says, oh, that church, they just got all that money. No, God sees to it that we get what we need. We get what we need. God sees to that. But you know, it's amazing that what we need covers air conditioning. What we need covers heat in the wintertime. What we need covers padded pews. We ought to be thankful, folks. We ought to be thankful for the blessings that God has given us. We are a rich people, and we don't even realize it. We are rich and don't even realize it. Oh, my. I mean, don't you find it a strange thing that the gifts of a good God could be a problem? Yet, God's goodness upon us has been the very thing that has broken a lot of nets. Well, you see, we get at ease in Zion. We get satisfied. We found it a lot easier to pray for daily bread when we didn't have enough money to buy daily bread. But now we got everything, don't we? We got everything. I mean, you know that when you come in here, choir's going to sing a song, it's going to be a blessing. You know that I'm going to open the Bible and give you a message from God's Word. And we get satisfied with that. Folks, I want you to know that this service would probably mean a whole lot more to you if you prayed over this service before you came. I want you to know that that choir would be a bigger blessing to you if you prayed for that choir before you came. But you see, we take everything for granted, don't we? We take it all for granted. And it's a wonder we got any nets at all. Prosperity has a hardening influence on us. All of us remember those early days when fellowship with God was more precious to us than anything. But today, now that we know how to be Christians, we have TV and we have DVDs and VCRs and high-speed internet and sports leagues and fitness centers and swim classes and the movies and 300 channels on our television sets and work and our hobbies. And, we just have a hard time finding where to fit God in, don't we? Well, Pastor, I'd come to the conference this week, but, don't but, goats but, sheep follow. Amen. Pastor, I'd come, but, don't but. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Man, you ought to get on your knees tomorrow evening before you come. You ought to get on your knees tonight before you come. Say, oh, dear God, be thorough with me. Oh, Lord, let that preacher say something tonight. He's going to reach out and grab me by the nape of the neck. Just shake me to my very foundation. Lord, let the Holy Spirit of God have free work, free reign in the church tonight. Lord, don't let anything hinder the service tonight. You see, but we're comfortable. We're at ease in Zion. Folks, you realize you're going to get in your air-conditioned car and you're going to drive home after a while. You realize that you're going to go to your air-conditioned house and you're going to have all you want to eat this afternoon. We are fortunate, blessed people. But prosperity can be that which has a hardening influence upon us. There's a second quick thing I want you to see from this. I want you to think of the loss when the nets are broken. I said, first of all, this morning that I answered the question, how do our nets get torn? But now, secondly, I want you to think of the loss when they're broken. Whenever I go fishing and I reel in the line and there's no bait on it, I get frustrated. The reason I do is because I'm sitting there thinking, how long has that bait been off that hook? You know? Larry and I go down the mountains trout fishing occasionally down in the Promised Land, down in West Virginia. And We go trout fishing down there. You fish for trout. These are raised in a hatchery, and they're not normal fish. They're raised in a hatchery, and their eating habits are weird. And they eat this little gooey round thing they call salmon eggs, which aren't salmon eggs. They're little round things, and they're made of some kind of rubber stuff. And you get a size 8 or a size 10 hook, and you put that little salmon egg on there, and you get a little split shot sinker and put it up here about a foot, 10 inches a foot above the hook. And then you wade out in the stream a little bit, and there's all kinds of rocks and stuff, and you cast upstream and let it float down. And if you don't get a fresh jar of those salmon eggs, if you get salmon eggs that are old, they're not worth a dime. I mean, they won't stay on the hook for nothing. And you got to keep that line tight, or the current will take it under a rock. You lose your hook, lose your bait, lose your sinker. I mean, trout fishing's different from bass fishing. And so you go out there and you're fishing, and you take that salmon egg, you put it on that, and you cast it out there. And you got to be real careful when you cast it. Because if you just rear back and jerk it like bass bait, you'll throw that salmon egg off. So you got to be real gentle with it. See out there, you throw it, it hits the water, And I don't know how many times I've gone out there, put that, especially when you start getting tired throughout the day, and you put the salmon egg on it, and you rear back and cast it, and you see that salmon egg flying off a hook. You put another one on it, and it's just flying right off a hook. Doesn't do you a bit of good to just keep right on fishing if you've seen that salmon egg go flying off a hook. That trout is not going to bite that bare hook. Now, he's just not going to do it. Now, you may snag one, but the chances of that are slim to none. You've got to reel it in and put more bait on it. Folks, let me tell you something. There is a loss. There is a loss. Just as the hook and the bait is fundamental for fishing for trout, the net being in good working order is fundamental when you're fishing with a net. If you don't have a good net, you're going to have vital loss. If the net is broken, it is a vital loss. The net is the main thing. I mean, think about it. If the fisherman's house burned to the ground, he can still go out on the water and provide for his wife and children. If drought comes and destroys his garden, he can still make a living and feed his family. But if his net is broken and useless, all is lost and his livelihood is gone. The net is vital to his very existence. If he loses the net, if it's broken, he's done for. And folks, the net is a picture of our walk. It's a picture of our victory. It's a picture of our growth. It's a picture of our maturity. And I think that today we are more concerned about every other aspect of life than we are about our nets. We're more concerned about our job. We're more concerned about how much money we've got. We're more concerned about our football and our races and everything. We're more concerned about everything else than we are about the things of God. Oh, that we would put God first. Your walk, your victory, your power in prayer, your power as a witness for the Lord, your soul winning efforts, your faith, your faithfulness are far more important than anything else. And the grace of God will mend your nets and give you these wonderful attributes in your life if you'll let the Lord mend your nets. Not only is if the net is broken, there's vital loss, but if the net is broken, there's distressing loss. Distressing loss. You see, a broken net is not only a vital loss, it's a distressing loss. It is distressing because we miss the riches that are at hand on every side. I want you to picture a fisherman with me out on the Sea of Galilee. He's in his boat. He rows out a ways. He knows that he's on a spot where he's caught fish before. And he takes that net up out of the boat. He's got a hold of the base. He's got a hold of the rope. And he takes that net and he shakes it, gets it all hanging over his arm. And then he reaches down here and he grabs it. He starts to spin it. He spins it around until it opens up. And then he turns it loose and throws it out as far as he can throw it. It may go out 10, 15 feet, maybe, and it hits the top of the water. But it's all spread out now. It's got weight all the way around the edge. And as it hits the water, it disappears. He's standing there with the rope in his hand. Now watch. That net goes down, and what does it do? Watch. He throws it out, and the net goes down, and what does it do? It comes back to him, under him. And when it starts, when he gets down, and he starts pulling it back up again, he, in reality, is catching fish that are just under his feet. Boy, I sure like to have God's blessings on my... They're right around you. They're right around you. I mean, I'm just going to have to go find me another church. Why? I tell you why. Your net's broke. Your net's broke. That's what your problem is. Why that church, the open door... Don't blame the church, the open door. You got a broken net. Why that sorry pastor? I know he's pretty sorry. I know it. But that's not the problem. The problem is your net. Amen. That'll preach. And you're the one that loses. You know, it's amazing to me. I, I, I'll get a email left, you know, in my box, or I'll get a message left on my phone. Pastor, we decided that we're going to go somewhere else to church. And the same week, I'll have 25 people come up to me in the hallway and say, man, I enjoyed that service Sunday night. Praise God. Woo! Man, felt like heaven had fallen down on us. What's the difference? How can I be such an ogre to one and a blessing to 25? How do you figure that? I'll tell you what the problem is. It's a net problem. Am I the only one sees this? I didn't preach this in the first service. I'm saying, folks, there is all the blessing, the fruit, the meat, the abundance, right here around you. Right here around you. It's available for you. It's available in your life. But you won't catch a thing if your net's broken. You won't catch a thing if your net's broken. Here's old James and John. They're sitting there in the boat. Oh, they're tired. You see those old sunburned hands? You see those old cut and bruised and scabbed over fingers? Man, it's hard work. Fishing's hard work. They're sitting there, boy, they're working that net. Jesus walks up. Follow me. Okay. And they left their nets and they followed him. Now here, all these years later, after following him, all these years later, hey, Peter, he's about to die. They're going to kill him. Did he look back, poor old me, I'm dying. They're going to kill me. No, he didn't do that. He said, man, I got to fire off a letter here and let these people know. Living for Jesus is worth it. I got to let these people know it's okay to live for Jesus, even if they're going to kill you. Be absent in the bodies, be present with the Lord. It's okay. And he writes a letter and he said, Hey, Christian, the God of all grace. That's the God that over here, back many years ago, lifted you out of the pit. Saved your soul. This is the God that went with you at each step of the road. I mean, he protected you, and he blessed you, and he put his hand upon you, and he fed you, and he clothed you, and he housed you, and he kept you alive when the devil tried to kill you. That God, Peter says, that same God, the same one that did all that, is able to mend your net.
Amen.
So that you can go out here every day and catch something. May God help us to let God mend the nets. Let's pray. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please. Father, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Oh, dear Lord, open our understanding. I pray the Holy Spirit will just have His way. Draw all of us to your side. Lord, may we just lean upon you and trust you to mend our nets this morning. In Jesus' name. Our heads bowed, our eyes closed. How many folks here today will say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about that. I know that I'm saved. But I tell you, I just have not been catching much lately. My net's broke. I see now what I need to do. Pastor, I haven't been reading my Bible like I should, and I haven't been to church like I should. Haven't been living for God like I should, but God's dealing with me about my net. And I want you to pray for me this morning. Pastor, would you slip your hand up, dear friend? Let me pray for you this morning. All over this building, raise your hand. Amen. Good, 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 good. Amen. That's a wonderful sight. Thank you. May put your hands down. Now, you know what? You know what? If just this many people will let God mend their nets this morning, if just this many, we could have revival this week. If just this many, we could have revival this week. Oh, my friend, in just a moment when we stand to sing, don't let the devil come and steal the seed. Don't let the devil come and take this away from your heart. You leave your seat, you come to this altar, and you tell God why you raised your hand this morning. you give your heart to the Lord. Let God mend your net today. Let me ask one more question. Anybody here today say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know for sure I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about my eternal soul. Preacher, would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Let me ask God to touch your life today. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Nobody will know who you are, just you, me, and God. But I will pray for you, I promise you that. Anybody like that? Pastor, I'm not sure I'm saved. Yes, God bless you, sir. I see your hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Oh, my, God can mend your net this morning if you'll let Him. He sure can. Father, you know our needs today. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and meet the needs that are on our hearts. Lord, I pray that there's not one person that raised their hand. I pray that not one will sit idle, but that, Lord, we will let you mend our nets. Lord, the net's not going to be fixed unless we come to you and you fix it. We can sit here and say, well, I'm going to straighten up this and I'm going to straighten up that. But Lord, until we come and you take the thread and you take the needle and do the mending, it's just all sounding brass and tingling cymbal. And Lord, our adversary, the devil, is not going to let up. He's not going to stop. And he, like a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. And so, Father, speak to the heart of every person this morning. Lord, especially these that have raised their hands. May there be some victories won here today. And Lord, for this one that said, I'm not sure that I'm saved, may today be the day of salvation. Lord, I pray that today this person will walk down the aisle. Let us take the Bible and show them how they can know they're going to heaven. Oh, Lord, do your work now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.